This is the Word of Truth broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in John's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning with verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given life to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise thee and thank thee for thy precious word, that thou hast given unto us, the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway, revealing unto us the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Lord of all, and the Lord of glory. And we praise thee for the resurrection that is in him, from the resurrection from the grave of sin, the first resurrection, and then the physical resurrection when he comes again to receive us unto himself. We praise thy holy and righteous name for the revelation of Christ to our heart and to all of thy people. By thy Holy Spirit, do thy work even today as thy word goes forth. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. Look unto me, people, saith the Lord your God. He transgressions. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. And remember them no more.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. I praise God for each one of you listeners and pray for you. I look to our gracious God to deal effectually and mercifully in each and every one of his hearts by his blessed Holy Spirit. Did you write for your free book that we've been offering this month entitled The Suffering Savior by Krumacher? Meditations on the Last Days of Christ. This will be the last time we'll offer the book. It is a book of 31 chapters dealing with the last days of our blessed Lord. Brother Krumacher has divided the book into the outer court, like the tabernacle, the inner court, and then the most holy place, as he takes our Lord from the upper room to the tomb in the morning of the resurrection. This book is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Ask for it by name, The Suffering Savior. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. For the past 4 weeks, we've been setting before you from Scripture the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. This, to me, dear friend, is a tremendous subject, and one that I believe could be expounded upon every day of our lives and not be exhausted. You see, without the work of the third person of the Blessed Trinity, we would be lost forever. My dear friend, the Holy Spirit's work in the understanding, in the affection and will of man is just as necessary a work, if we're to be savingly joined to Christ, as the work of Christ that he did at the cross and the empty tomb is. Oh, how blessed to see and know the work of our triune God in our behalf, all three of the Godhead working in our behalf, and for this we give our gracious triune God praise. Yes, I am a Trinitarian, because the Bible speaks of the one and only true and living God manifested unto us throughout the Scriptures as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great three in one. Listen to me just a moment now as we go into our message for today. Let's see how the Trinity works, will you? We see the Father's electing and sending the Son. We see the Son coming and dying. We see the Holy Spirit convicting and delivering. The Scripture speaks of the Father's giving, of the Son's dying, of the Holy Spirit's applying this work to our heart. The Scripture speaks of the Father loving us, the Son dying for us, and the Holy Spirit quickening us and make us alive. The Scripture speaks of the Father's gift of the Son to die for us, the Son's work to bring us to God, and the Spirit's work to quicken us. The Bible speaks of the Father who chastens us, the Son who succors us, and the Spirit who helps us unto God. The Scripture speaks of the Father who fathers us, the Son's propitiation to fit us for heaven, and the Spirit's power to furnish us with all the gifts that are needful in this life and in the life to come. Again, the Scripture speaks of the Father's promise to cheer us, the Son's peace to calm us, and the Spirit's presence to control us. The Scripture speaks of the Father's grace to save us, the Son's grace to strengthen us, and the Spirit's grace to sanctify us. The Scripture also speaks of the Father's grace to beautify us, the Son's atonement to benefit us, the Spirit's life to beam through us. And then the Scripture speaks of the Father's illuminating to teach us. The Son's indwelling to triumph over and through us. And then the Spirit's inspiration to throb through our whole being with His love moment by moment. Yes, dear friend, the Scriptures teach that our triune God has given us His salvation in Christ, and that all of the personages of the Godhead are interested in our salvation, for God's people have been the object of His love from eternity. So we may say it again today, that in salvation the Scriptures teach that all is from the Father, all is through the Son, and all is applied by the Holy Spirit to our hearts and to our lives. And I praise the Lord for it. Now, it is in this application of God's salvation for His people by the Holy Spirit that has had our attention for these past weeks. In our first message, we spoke to you about the necessity of the Holy Spirit's work because we are dead in trespasses and in sin. In our second message, we spoke to you about the Holy Spirit's work because we lie guilty beneath the mother sin of unbelief. In our third message, we spoke to you concerning the new birth, which is effected only by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Then in our fourth message, we showed you that it was only by the Holy Spirit that we could call Jesus Christ Lord in salvation. Now, in our message today, we desire to share with you from the Word of God the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the Christian, the true believer, the child of God, and see His work in us after He saves us in Christ. You might ask, what is the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the believer, the true Christian? I say the Holy Spirit is the love gift of the Father and the Son to the believer, to live within him, giving him spiritual life, assuring him of his sonship, and communicating to the believer the benefits of the gospel. This, then, is the continued work of the Holy Spirit in taking of the things of Christ and revealing them unto our hearts. The Holy Spirit's work is of a necessity before God ever saves us, because He and He alone effects the new birth in us. He gives us true repentance. He gives us true faith. And it is He and He alone who indwells us, taking the things of Christ and revealing them unto our hearts after we are saved, to keep us, deliver us, hold us, and adopt us into the family of God. And that until He can get us to glory, made in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear child of God, you and I should never cease praising the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit, for His work in our salvation. All right? The Holy Spirit's work and the Holy Spirit's gift was prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ and promised to the believer as a gift from Him and from the Father. Listen to John 14, 16, and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Again in John 15, 26, our Lord gives us this great truth and blessing when He said, when the Spirit is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Oh, what a blessing! What a mercy from our living Savior that He gives us of His own Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to indwell each and every one of His blood-bought ones. For if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. According to Romans 8, 9. You see, we have received Him. He has come and taken up His abode in us by our believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, so His Spirit dwells in our bodies by faith. We do not receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law, but by believing the gospel as it is known in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to me now. The Scripture gives positive proof that in salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to take up His abode in our hearts and in our lives. And according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, our body becomes the temple of the living God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And as we just read to you from Romans 8:9, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, then we are none of His. So that does away with all of this second blessing, getting down, seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For if you didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you didn't get the Holy Spirit of Christ when you believed, you will never get Him. He comes only into the soul in salvation, for He Himself is the author and the finisher of regeneration. He works in our hearts by His almighty power, and I praise Him for it. Again, as the Holy Spirit is the source of the miracle of the new birth, so the Holy Spirit is the source of the believer's spiritual life. Galatians 3:3 tells us that our spiritual life began in the Spirit. And Romans 8:2 tells us that the Spirit of life continues this life in us. You see, it is His life that He continues to give us. For we are still of ourselves nothing and can do nothing. But He has quickened us and made us alive in Christ. Day by day He lives within us, quickening us and walking in us in this newness of life. This is His work, and I praise Him for it. Without me you can do nothing, our Lord said. And how does He do it? By His Spirit working in us day by day. When you ask, how does He do this? The Holy Spirit testifies with the Christian's spirit that he is a child of God. Romans 8:16. He makes the believer sure of his union with Christ, whereby we know that Christ abideth in us by the Holy Spirit which He hath given unto us, according to 1 John 3. And then in 1 John 4 we read, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given to us of His Spirit. Now, my dear friend, let us ponder this statement together for a while, will you? What does this statement mean? What do the expressions "we know" and "hereby know we," what do they mean? Are you listening? You and I both know that when a man knows something, he is aware of it, isn't he? Sure he is. And what is a man aware of in this verse of Scripture? It is this, that he dwells in Christ and Christ dwells in him. And you ask, how does he know this? It is by the indwelling Spirit of Christ. My friend, you want to ask the question again, Pastor, what are you trying to deal with here? Well, let me read the Scripture again, 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given to us of His Spirit. My dear friend, we are dealing here in this verse of Scripture, the Lord is, with life. Listen to me now. A living Savior, by His living Spirit, indwells a living man by faith. And that living man, who was once dead but is now alive, communes with the living Savior by the living Spirit. And he experiences daily this living union. Oh, my dear listener, do you know that salvation is something more than just a decision that you made? It is something more than you saying yes to a set of Scriptures and repeating after someone the sinner's prayer. Do you know that it is something more than just a notion, but something that is felt and known? My dear friend, salvation is life. Life in Christ, given to us by the blessed Holy Spirit, who comes to take the things of Christ and makes them real unto our heart. I ask, what are you going to do with these verses of Scripture? Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Can I ask you another question? Could I live in someone and someone live in me and I not know it? No. Could I have communion with that individual and me not know it? No. Let me ask another question. Full of them today, aren't I? But you're listening. This way you're made to think. Listen to me. Could I have lived with my wife these 38 years and not know it? Could I have communion with her and union with her and weep with her and laugh with her and share all my life with her and me not know it? No. It would be impossible, wouldn't it? Why? Because we are two living creatures drawn together in the holy state of matrimony and therefore sharing with each other the recesses of our beings. Now let me apply it. So it is in salvation. When I came to Christ by the Spirit as a poor, helpless, lost sinner, and was enabled by faith to look away to Christ as my all in all, and was married to Christ by faith, and He became my husband, my head, my Savior, my life, then, praise His holy name, I entered into a living relationship by faith with Him. He became a living reality to my soul. And how do I know that I dwell in Him and He in me? By His Holy Spirit who has been given unto me. And this is the evidence of every one of God's children. Yes, it is a living union between Christ and His people. Because the living Christ of God indwells the poor repenting, believing sinner who was once dead in trespasses and in sins. Are you listening? There's another evidence of life in the believer. And it is brought out in these verses of Scripture. In Romans 8, 15 and 16, we find these words, "But you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Therefore the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Then in Galatians 4, 6, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." You see, dear friend, where the Spirit of Christ dwells, there is spiritual life. And this life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what He says in Colossians 3, 3 and 4. "Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." But I believe one of the greatest scriptures along this line is Galatians 2, 20. Wherein we are told of that living union, which we are brought into by the living Spirit. Galatians 2:20 reads, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Now what did I tell you a while ago when we were on 1 John 4:13? How do we know all of this? By the indwelling Spirit of Christ. You see, we are dealing here with life, and that's what God gives us when He saves us. It's not just a little believing. No, it's life. God imparts His life to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, He gives us all that is needful for life and for godliness. He gives us of His divine nature. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 tells us He gives us a new heart and gives us a new spirit where by faith we can lay hold of the living God. We're dealing with life. A living Savior by His living Spirit indwelling a living man by faith, and that living man who was once dead but is now alive communes with the living Savior by the living Spirit. And he experiences daily this living union. Now, one more thing. I believe one of the greatest things the indwelling Holy Spirit does for the child of God is that He leads him into that life of progressive sanctification, whereby the child of God is enabled to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yes, the child of God is set apart for God, and for God's use. 1 Peter 1, 2 tells us that it is through sanctification of the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 tells us that God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. My dear friend, if the Scriptures teach one thing, they teach that God saved us to make us holy as He is holy. Therefore, God in salvation gives us of His Spirit to do what? To produce in us this life of holiness, and this He will do, or we are not His. You see, the Holy Spirit has been given to transform the believer into the Lord's likeness from glory to glory, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us. I understand it is a slow and a long process, but if you are a child of God, my dear friend, this work is being done. Not only does the Holy Spirit conform us to Christ in holiness, but He also produces the character of Christ in us. And how did He do this? Galatians 5:22-23 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit, whereby He makes us like Christ, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Love, true love, has its source and sphere and end in God Himself. Love is heaven-born, Christ-centered, and Spirit-produced. Joy is a plant which grows in the soil of holiness and is planted by the best gardeners, the Holy Spirit. Peace is the calm of God still in the soul of man, to its bringing the spirit of man into its rest and refreshment in Christ. Long-suffering, without retaliation or recrimination, enduring under provocation and loss, the Holy Spirit works this in us. Gentleness is right and true spirit, which is unruffled by opposition, keeps sweet in all circumstances like Him who is meek and lowly in heart. Goodness is doing good and helping others for love's sake, finding others' needs the opportunity to meet them. Faith is the heart's confidence and rest in God as expressed in obedience to Him. Meekness is a spirit which is satisfied with whatever comes and does not complain. And temperance is a spirit under control, which is sober in all things. All of these are the products of the Holy Spirit in making us like Christ. And they find their life and nourishment in the Lord Himself. How much then should we give praise and thanksgiving unto our living God if indeed He has worked in us by His Spirit this Christ-like life and character? My friend, you'll want a copy of this message. Write us and we'll send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.